The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So this gospel reading is so familiar, and it comes with so many memories and is laden with nostalgia, because we hear the same reading from Luke every year. But the Christmas narrative also, I think, grabs hold of us because the author of Luke really knew how to tell a story. I love the language that he used. He sets us up right away. It's from that oral tradition, right, where people would gather around and pass on their stories from generation to generation, using words like, "Gather round, my children, as I tell you the story of our people." Special words that were used to indicate to the listener that it's time to pay attention. Something important is going to be said. It's time to be quiet and still and hear what is about to be told. Luke is about to tell the most important story that he has, the story of salvation. And so he starts off with these special words, "In those days," and then he paints a picture. He paints a picture of the world into which this story emerges. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, we know that's probably not historically accurate as far as the timing, but Luke takes some artistic license and he beautifully communicates the power and importance of what is about to take place. Emperor Augustus, literally Emperor Highly Exalted, because that's how Augustus translates. Emperor Highly Exalted put out a decree that all the world should be registered. It gives us this global scale. And again, now we know this was a smaller region. It wasn't the whole world, but it was the world as they knew it. It was the world as far as the emperor's power reached, which was pretty far. So Luke paints this picture of far-reaching, bombastic, self-important, abusive power. The emperor requiring all of his subjects to travel, to leave their homes, to leave their livelihoods, and to travel great distance at their own expense just so that he could tally them, so he could keep track of his commodity, which was the people, and determine how much he could take from them. This is the setting of our story. This vast, global, abusive power that the people are suffering under. And it's in this setting that Luke so masterfully paints that a young woman has a baby. A small, everyday event of a baby being born. Then Luke sets up a similar contrast when he moves us to the fields where the shepherds are watching their sheep. We have the skies opening up, angels bursting forward, entire choirs of them sing praise and announce God's gift of salvation to the world. God's gift of a child who brings salvation to all the people. And where does this eye-popping show of angel choirs and world-changing news take place? In a pasture with some shepherds watching their sheep. Just everyday workers doing their job, protecting the livestock. Nothing special, not very high on the social ladder. So again, Luke paints this picture and he sets up these contrasts. Luke was great at contrasts, and he does it in this beautiful way as he tells the story of Jesus' birth, and he demonstrates what it is that God is doing in all of this. In each of these two pieces of our story, Luke demonstrates how God is flipping the script. God is turning things on their head. God is completely upending our understanding of what power is, of where meaning is to be found, and who is important and significant in the eyes of God. Those who've been ignored or written off as unimportant, the shepherds, are the very first ones to receive this message that will change everything. And this young nobody couple, Mary and Joseph, struggling to make it under the thumb of Emperor Augustus, it's through them that God begins this new work. It's through them that God sends a savior into the world. So in his beautiful story, Luke sets the stage for this good news. The good news of Jesus, who was sent into our world, our real world, a world of abusive power and oppressive hierarchies. That is the world into which Jesus was born. That is the world into which Jesus was sent to challenge these systems, to flip that script, to upend all of the power dynamics, and to bring life and salvation into the world, into all the world. Just as Emperor Augustus called for all the world to be counted, Jesus is sent to bring salvation for all people. This is the life-giving change that God sends us. And it comes right into our real world, into our everyday, mundane lives. And it is the good news of salvation that is sent for all people. To you is born this day a Savior. Now, today, this day, And I don't just mean Christmas Day, but each day and each moment of our lives, this change that God sends is for us, and it is for all people, and it is now. Even though it's a challenge to us every day to live into God's saving work and not just keep living in the abusive power structures of the world, the gift of life that God offers is for us this day and every day. The amazingly good news that we celebrate this Christmas is that God sends life-giving change into the harsh reality of our world and into the mundane moments of our everyday lives. God comes to dwell with us and to show us a new way, a way that's not abusive, but everyday miracles. The good news is that God continues to do this life-giving work, continues to do this big work of saving us again and again in small and unassuming ways. God continues to work in our lives and through our lives so that all the world may know the good news of God's life-giving love and salvation. What a beautiful story. Thanks be to God, and Merry Christmas.